In church, it is indeed good to see you on this this beautiful Sunday morning, and it has been a great week for our congregation. Whether you knew it or not, before you showed up today, to have three young people make the decision to become Christians was a really great week. I'm so proud of Mitchell and Raylan and Trenton and their decision to give their lives to God, to follow Jesus, and put him on in baptism, which is a really significant, important, powerful statement. And I'm so proud for them. I'm so proud for their parents, and so glad to have them as a part of the Forest Mill family. So let me ask you, let's just start with a question this morning. What are you most worried about? What are you most worried about? For some of you, I ask that question and you are like, bam, you've got an answer. You know the answer to that question it's just almost instinctual. It's a cellular level. Everything in your body says, I am most worried about this, right? For others of you, it was a hard question because you've got like a catalog that you like to scroll through from time to time, and you're like, oh, it's Sunday at 10 a.m., so I'm most worried about this, or we're in summer, so I'm most worried about that. I mean, you've got like a lot of things to choose from. You've got to figure out what's the worst thing right now to be worried about. Well, over the past year, if you think about it, you probably weren't aware, but there's been a lot going on. There's been a lot of things for people to worry about. There was this worldwide pandemic that claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans and millions of people around the globe that altered our lives really forever and in some significant ways. There was the economic hardships that resulted from the majority of businesses and industries closing their doors, some closing just temporarily, but some closing their doors permanently. So there's been the economic hardship. There was also the tumultuous political landscape. We saw a vehemently contested presidential election. There was an impeachment trial or two. There was a deadly coup that tried to take place on our U.S. Capitol. I mean, it was a really worrisome year politically. And then in the midst of all that, there was all this racial inequality that spilled over into nationwide protest as that was brought to the forefront. And so there were all these protests nationwide, and some of those resulted in violence and destruction in some of the major American cities, and a lot of people were worried about that. So these are just like the big things, right? These are just the national or societal things. In addition to that, you've got your own laundry list of things to be worried about. You're worried about things at work or with your family or with your health or with your finances. I mean, these are all things that are competing for our worry energy. There is plenty of things to worry about that have gone around, and that has shown up dramatically in the numbers of people in our country who are struggling with anxiety, and you may be one of them. From January to September of last year, over 315,000 people took the anxiety screen. That is a 93% increase over 2019. And 2019 had plenty of things to worry about. But 2020 was so difficult for many that increased 93% from the previous year. And it's not just that more people were taking the screen, but it was that, or the screening, the test, but 80% of the people who took that test came back with moderate to severe symptoms. So it wasn't just an increase in people thinking, well, I've got some free time, I'll just take this anxiety screening. There was a lot of people who were significantly struggling. As a whole, we are a very, very worried, anxious people. And as we continue our study through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it feels like this next portion could have been written specifically for you and for me and for us here today. It's like Jesus, when you read it, it's like Jesus peered across thousands of miles and thousands of years, and he's like, I need to say something to those folks. And he says exactly what we're struggling with. It is like a special word for us. So this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. Normally, if you're familiar with us and you've been part of us, you know that generally I like to put the scripture reading up on the screen and you can read along with it, and that's a great thing to do. Or sometimes I've asked you to read along in your Bibles, and that's a great thing to do as well. But this morning, rather than putting it up on the screen, rather than have you read along with your own Bibles, I want us just to listen. That's really the way scripture was written. It's meant to be an oral word, a heard word. So this morning, I want us just to listen. Let's try this. I want you to find a comfortable seating position. Just somewhere you'll be comfortable. And I want you to place your hands in your lap and relax. Take a deep breath. And if possible, close your eyes. Those of you with small children, I realize that's a difficult task, but you may welcome a chance to close your eyes and just let whatever happens, happen. Chips fall where they may. But as much as it's possible, I want us to relax, put your hands in your lap, close your eyes, take another deep breath, and let's just listen to the words of Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. You can open your eyes. It would be really easy to listen to these words of Jesus about God's care to hear that, even just now, because it's so peaceful. It would be really easy to read this, and it's been done time and time again, lesson after lesson, to romanticize it, is what I call it. To look at this idyllic picture of birds and wildflowers and just get carried away with the idea that God's going to look after us no matter what, and everything's always going to be rosy. That's at least my temptation when I hear this, is to think everything's supposed to always be all good. But that has not been my experience of life in the Lord, and it probably hasn't been yours either. The message I've gotten time and time again is that if you'll just trust God, everything will be great. But that has not been my experience of life in the Lord. I struggle to trust God, and even in my moments of greatest trust, life is not always hunky-dory. It's not always rosy. And so if that were what I was saying here today, I think that would be so disconnected from your reality, from my reality, that it would just be like, it would just be irrelevant. Because that is not the world we live in. It was not the world of Jesus' listeners, where people were literally vying for enough food to eat so they didn't starve to death. I think that's one of the dangers in reading it that way, is that you can get so carried away with the idea of putting our trust in God that we can lose touch, lose focus with reality, and we begin to have this fantasy world where all of our stresses and all of our anxieties of ordinary life just drift away like dandelion fluff. Read recently about a man whose wife had passed away. And he refused to admit that he missed her or that he had experienced any loss from her death. Why? Because that would have, to admit those things would have been to admit a lack of faith in God. Like, if you're hurting, it's because you don't trust God enough. If your life is hard, it's because you don't have enough faith. If you have fears or worries or anxieties, it's because you're just not faithful. But I don't think that Jesus is suggesting that we live in this blissful state of denial, this state of ignorance. Neither am I suggesting that Jesus is saying you shouldn't plan for the future. In fact, in Luke 14, Jesus tells his followers that they need to count the cost. They need to look to the future if they're going to continue following him. He's very explicit about that. So rather than blithely saying to anyone who's struggling, don't worry, which is one of my auto responses, don't worry, it's going to be okay, right? Don't worry, it's all going to be all right. Don't be stressed out about this. That is both unhelpful, and I think it's misrepresenting the actual words of Jesus. Instead, I think that Jesus here is encouraging us to make certain that the focus of our plans is the kingdom of God. He's not saying don't make any plans, but make your plans based on the kingdom of God, to make sure that the place we look for assurance, the place we look for hope in this world is not this world. That we are looking for our hope, we are looking for our assurance in the kingdom of God. Because here's the usual cycle. This is the way that it typically goes. Maybe you'll identify with this. We're worried about the future because how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How are we going to make it here? How are we going to make it there? And so you worry about the future. And so what we do is we work and we plan and we work and we plan and we work and we plan and we make every effort to find some security in the future, because if I work and I plan and I work and I plan and I work and I plan enough, then that future is going to happen. Especially when it comes to things like our finances or our future plans like that. But what I have found is that the end result of my working and planning is more anxiety, because the things that we're relying upon are not secure. It's like me drawing up grand house plans and making sure everything is exactly right and making enough money to buy all my building supplies, which are entirely sugar cubes, I could make the best house plan and work the hardest on it. And along comes the first rain and my house is nothing. Sure, it'd be sweet, but that's about it. So Jesus is not saying don't work and don't plan. He's saying don't work and plan based on the temporary, fleeting things of this world. The things we tend to rely on most will inevitably let us down, just like we talked about last week. This passage, this don't worry passage, is a continuing thought from his Sermon on the Mount. He's not trying to tell people don't work or don't plan. He's trying to give us some permanence, some reassurance, some hope for the future. And he's leading us toward the kingdom of God, which does have hope, does have assurance, and it is a sure thing. We live in an age, just think about this. You and I, we live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world. We have got more personal possessions. We have got more access to technology, more access to health services, to education. And they're the highest they've ever been in the history of the world. And yet the level of anxiety in our society is as high as it's ever been. If it was just based on getting the stuff, why are we still so anxious? I could pull up, to quote a friend of mine, I have got the entire knowledge of the world in my pocket. You could ask me, what does something mean in Urdu, a language I know nothing about? And inside of a couple of minutes, I could tell you. I'd be like, Google Translate Urdu. Right? And then I am telling you, and you and I are having a conversation in Urdu. By the way, I don't know that's a real language. Don't look that up. Right? I mean, I've got everything. I can go and get in my truck, which is not a brand new truck, but it starts blowing cold air on hot days, and it blows hot air on cold days. And it will come not only out of the vents, it will come out of these tiny holes in my seat. I am riding literally in the lap of luxury. It is amazing. I am wearing clothes that are comfortable and they fit me and they breathe. And I have got like several of these in my closet. I'm not trying to brag. I have enough underclothing to wear a different one every day this week. If I stretch. I'm a pretty wealthy guy. I've got more furniture than we ever use. We've got food that we're not even going to eat all of it. And yet, even in our household, even in my life, I worry about stuff. So it's not just about don't worry. Of course we're going to worry. Whether you are dead broke or uber wealthy, you've still got worries and things concern you. But what Jesus is saying is that we need to make our plans based upon the kingdom of God. So rather than just helping us build a better mousetrap, which is what most self-help books are, and let's be honest, most self-help books are trying to tell you a better way to do what you're already doing. How to work this way and make more money, because that's the goal, is to make more money. How to work that way and have better stuff, because that's what you want, is better stuff, right? That's what most self-help books are, or whatever it is you're trying to achieve, mental health or whatever it is. Jesus just casts all of that aside. And he said, let's just change the game altogether. Let's change from material things to heavenly things, from wealth and possessions to the kingdom of God. Think about it this way, church. We are a pilgrim people. You and I, we are pilgrims, right? And you've probably heard that in sermons before and you heard that metaphor. But what that means is that you and I, we are not defined by what we have. We are not defined by what we carry, what we are wearing, what we own. We are not defined by where we have been. We are not defined by where we are. A pilgrim is defined solely by where they are headed. That is what makes you a pilgrim. So if the goal is not where you've been, if the goal is not what you have, if the goal is where you're going and that's what you're making your plans upon, that is permanence. That is assurance. That means unless we are defined by this destination that is the kingdom of God, if that is not the case, then we have failed as a church. We've just reverted to becoming another human institution that kind of props you up to do what you were already wanting to do anyway. If as a church we allow our secular lives to become the focus and the material possessions to be the end goal or human recognition or fame or whatever it is that you're after, then we've lost our way. We are walking in the darkness, as we talked about last week. So I want to reassure you, there's nothing wrong with planning. You want to add on to your house. Jesus is not saying don't add on to your house or buy a car or send your kids off to school or whatever it is. You take some financial planning, right? There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with being careful. If you are the cautious type, I want you to know this morning, you're okay. That Jesus loves you and God made you and you're all good. It is okay to be cautious. It is okay to be a planner. Some of you are great planners. I'm not. But I know some of you are because I married one of you. And thank goodness I did, because I would be in bad shape if I hadn't. I'm thankful for you. The important question isn't, are you planning, but what are you planning for? What is the goal towards which you are heading? Where are you putting your money and your time and your energy? Is it all about this personal future, or is it in the kingdom of God? Or to rephrase it another way, am I worried about what I'm going to, you know, where to work tomorrow, or what I'm going to have for dinner on Tuesday, or whether I'm going to get the exact thing that I want? Or am I worried about the people that I know and love, whether they are living in the kingdom of God? Right? What's my worries based on material things or upon the kingdom of God? Where are we putting our time and energy? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And to paraphrase, all the rest of that will fall into place. But seek first. And this morning, if we can help you reprioritize to change your goals and your aims and begin that pilgrimage toward the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, in life, with life in Christ. If we can lift you up or encourage you on that way, we want to do that this morning. Won't you come now as we stand and as we